really want to talk to you about the sign of the manger. I think that when you grow up in church and you've been going to Sunday school all your life and you have all these things that go on at Christmas, I think sometimes you become immune and you become, not really grasp maybe what was taking place. And sometimes I think that, we celebrate from the standpoint of Christ, our Savior, being born. But there was a sign, a very, very, very important sign about Jesus being in a manger. He could have been anywhere. You understand that? We're talking about the Son of God, God in the flesh. He could have came to the Trump Plaza if he wanted to. But see, he didn't. There was a sign. There was something being said because he was in a manger. So I want to talk to you about that for a little bit. I believe the Lord wants to heal you today. I believe he wants to deliver you today. I believe he wants to transform your life today. But let's look at the scripture. Already read some of it. Luke chapter 2 verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. It would be a great place and a great message to preach right there. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. And unfortunately, there's no room for him in the church in a lot of cases today. But Jesus, when he came into the earth, it's interesting, there was no room for him. Then if we go on to verse 8, it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born unto you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Jesus was not just in a manger by happenstance. Him being in the manger was a sign. I don't think we've ever got that. I think we just think that they couldn't find anywhere else for him, so they stuck him in a manger. No. When this angel came to the wise men, he said, the sign to you is the fact that he's in the manger. See, I'm trying to tell us this morning that there was a sign given to us because he was in a manger. It's interesting here, and I want to show you some things. We're talking about the good news this morning. What's some good news here that I want to show you? Some things that I don't even have in my notes, but I want to show you this. First of all, we see something very interesting here. Do you believe Jesus was the King of Kings? Do you believe that he was God in the flesh? The first thing that I think is good news for you this morning and me is when the angels came to announce that he had come, they didn't have a Fox News alert. They did not call a band and trumpets. They went to everyday common people. That's the first good news for you this morning. This baby came, this God came, and the announcement was made to normal everyday people. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to go there yet. But he came to everyday people. That's a good sign for you. And he came with good news. But he said something interesting. Number one, the good news is a Savior is coming to you. What is a Savior? It's one who saves from any form or degree of evil. Whatever evil is attacking your life or going on in your life, he came to save you from that. A Savior takes from you or is able to deal with any evil that comes against your life. So we're talking about a sign here. The first sign he gave was that he was a Savior. Matthew 1:20-21 says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So we see that he was a Savior. But then he said, this will be a sign for you. What will be the sign? The sign will be that the baby will be wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Now, I think that we've probably interpreted this portion of Scripture in the past. I don't think we understand what the Greek word was really saying here. Because I think we've kind of got the image of, you know, if you go down three streets to the right and hang right, and you'll see a blue flash there on the right, and that's a sign, that's the street you're supposed to turn on. He was saying something far greater than that. He wasn't saying this is how you'll know when he's there. He was saying the fact that he is there is a sign to you. I can see your eyeballs now. I don't think we really got that. Something very prophetic was happening. He wasn't saying that this is a sign. You'll know that's him because he's laying in a manger. He was saying that the fact that he's in a manger is a sign to you and to the world. There's that quiet thing again. This will be a sign for you. Now see, when an angel speaks of a sign, when we go back and look at the word sign in what it means in the Greek, it really means that what they were saying is something supernatural is going to happen. It refers to a supernatural sign from God that no one could miss. No, he's not in a manger so you can find where he is. He's in a manger by the plan of God to send a message to the world. That being in the manger itself was a message. Something prophetic was being said by him being in a manger. And this word, sign, means something supernatural. Like the parting of the Red Sea, the walking on water, Jesus rising from the dead. What the word was actually meaning here is the fact that he's in a manger speaks something prophetically to the whole future. And this sign is, anytime the scripture used this, it implied that God had intervened in all of human history. But you have to understand, I hope you got this now, there was something more than him saying, the manger is just the way I'm going to give you directions to where he is. No, he was in the manger by the choice of God to be a sign. The fact of where he was a supernatural prophecy to you. See, we've been so busy thanking God that he came and all that we missed the sign of the manger. The sign of the manger, he was prophesying instantly to you and I when he was in the manger. So, you know, if you look at it, you think about it, wouldn't you think, I mean, this is God being born here. Wouldn't you think that, you know, the heavens would open up and the moon would turn to blood and the angels would come out and be up in the stars singing, you know. Wouldn't you think that? I mean, this is God in the earth here. But the sign was none of that. The sign was that he was in a manger. Now, what's the good news this morning? Here is the sign. Listen to the sign again. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby. This is the sign to you, sir. You will find a baby. What's the good news for you this morning? The good news for you this morning, the prophetic message that was being declared was in the fact that he was a baby. I'm going to show you what I mean. The good news is he was a baby. Now, what does that mean? Well, I want you to think for a moment. Think about the atmosphere surrounding the birth of a president's child. Let's say right now we have a first lady who's pregnant, and all of a sudden she's got to go deliver the baby. They got to take her to the hospital. Can you imagine all of the hoopla that would be going on? Can you imagine all the cameras that would be there? My next statement. If a new child is born to the royal family, what is the atmosphere like? The reality is they will not be treated as just a baby. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit by right now. They wouldn't be treated as just a baby, but the prophetic implication to you is this man, this person, he was treated just as a baby. He was just a baby. Here's the sign to you, sir. He's going to be just a baby. That's the greatest hope in the history of the world, is the fact that he was a baby. Now, what's being said by this? He was the King of Kings, but his sign was that he was a baby, and a baby in a manger. No fanfare, no royal treatment. Now, what is the sign that was being said? He became what you are. There is no other God. As a matter of fact, all other gods try to separate themselves from you. They make sure you know they're greater than you. But the sign here was, he's going to become what you are. The greatest Christmas message is that God became what you are. Here's going to be your sign, sir. You're going to find a baby. And because you find a baby, it changes everything. See, the scripture says this in Hebrews 4:15. For we have a high priest. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, here's what the prophetic message was. I'm going to send you someone to the earth that can relate to your issues. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to give you hope today to understand that when he was born a baby and in a manger, what was being said is he was becoming like you. And because he's becoming like you, he can understand your issues. And when we go to Hebrews, we find verification of that, because it says he was tempted in all points just like you. And see, sometimes we miss that. The prophetic message, the sign was that he was human. There's freedom in this room right now if you get the revelation of what I'm saying to you. He's human. He was human. See, sometimes we put him so far above us that we forget the prophetic message. He was a baby. You will find a baby. That means whatever you're facing in your life right now, he can relate to. There's the sign. He's a baby. So he took on flesh to become like you. He became like you. So no matter what you're facing, he can relate to you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, and he took on the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, what did he do? He took, here, what's the sign? He took the form of a man. He did not come as a deity. He did not come as a celebrity. He came as a baby and a man. And therein, from the beginning of his days, from his birth, he was saying to the earth, I can relate to you. I'm not someone who is above you. It says he took on the form and he came in the likeness of. That is the prophetic sign. Because most people who have great power separate themselves from men. He came in the likeness of men. I hope you hear me this morning. I don't care what you're facing this morning. See, sometimes when you grow up in religious tradition, you can struggle with issues. We've been talking about issues. We'll pick that up next week. We've been struggling with issues, and we can think that God is so far above those issues that he's ready to beat us up. That old religious spirit, don't dress right. Don't you wear too much makeup. Your hair's too long. You got all that mess running around on the inside of you, and it separates you from him. But the sign was there from the beginning. I'm coming to be like you. I'm coming in the form of you so I can relate to your issues. Do you know the church is filled with people that don't get that? You don't get that. That's why you don't. When you messed up last week, you don't worship when you come in. You forget that he came as a baby. He's walked this earth. He's been tempted in all points like as you. That'll change your prayer life. That'll change your attitude about going to church when you mess up. See, what if we shifted our mindset and got a real message? I'm not going to stay away from church when I mess up. I'm going to go to church and find somebody who understands my issues. We don't really understand. He came as a baby. We think he's freaked out by our stuff. We think he's freaked out by our issues. Oh, there's revelation in this room. He's not freaked out by your issues. He's seen them all. He's faced them all. And the good news is he faced them without sin. He did what you're unable to do. But never forget, he came as a baby. Oh, there's freedom in here for some of you. You've been beating yourself up, oh religious, ugly spirit. I know you kicked the dog and cussed the cat yesterday. It's Christmas. You probably flew somebody the bird somewhere on the road in the last 2 weeks. Tell the truth, shun the devil. And you thought, I'm not even going to go to church today. Whew, man, I'm not being... Whew. I said he was a baby! He was flesh and blood. You better hear this message this morning. I think sometimes we're so focused on him being God that we forget he laid that down. When he came to this earth, he came just like it was Jason being born, like it was Doyle being born, like it was Roger being born. When you get that, it helps you. So he took the form of a man. Now I want to show you. So what am I saying? The message was, the sign is he's going to be a baby. Which means, here's my point to you, he can relate to anything you go through. Now let's look. There's healing in this room this morning. There's deliverance in this room this morning. You mark my words. Let's look now. Let's prove it to me, you say. Isaiah 53:2. What are we saying? The sign was he's a baby. He's going to be like you. Not different from you, like you. Well, let's prove it. Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You ever feel ugly? Are you ever struggle with self-esteem? You ever look in the mirror and say, oh my God, transform me? I know that's true, because a lot of you spend the morning transforming yourself. Hey folks, he was not beautiful. There was nothing stood out about him. So if you struggle with your self-esteem and think you're not pretty enough, he came as a baby. There was nothing beautiful about him. That's the good news. I'm trying to tell you, he can relate to every issue you have in your life. Could he have been ugly? You know there's not many pretty babies. I know you go to the hospital, oh, he's so pretty, and you're really on the inside thinking, my God. Whew, I hope he grows out of that. You think Jesus was any different because you think he's the Son of God? You think he'd come out just beautiful? Oh, I'm going to go there. Let me relate something to you. You really, I'm telling you, I'm working on something in your head. You think Jesus didn't use the bathroom on himself, don't you? Because he was God. There's revelation hanging right over your head right now. You really, have you ever stopped to think about that? Have you ever thought about that? No, because you thought he was God. He came as a human. He was a baby. Babies do poo-poo. And they don't do it in the pate until they get older. I'm trying to get you to change. You can fall in love with Jesus this morning if you realize he's not ostracizing you and he's not trying to be different from you. He understands you because he became you. Amen. He wasn't beautiful. He knows what it's like to not be as pretty as somebody else. Now, I've never had that issue. But as the spirit of deception moves across the room, it's not what you are on the outside, it's what you believe you are on the inside that matters. See, what's the point? In the eyes of men, Jesus was nothing special. There are people in this room right now that struggle with that issue, not recognizing that he understands that. The band wasn't there when he was born. You know what he probably actually heard? No band, no celebration. That's what he was born to. Oh, if you can get the prophetic message I'm sharing with you this morning, it can set you free. In the eyes of men, he was nothing special. His outward appearance was normal. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrow. He's acquainted with grief. You better let the Lord speak to you this morning. You keep thinking he was God, but he was human. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrow, a man acquainted with grief. We even hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The best news for you this morning is the son's going to be, he's a baby. He was despised. Have you ever been despised? He can relate to you. He was rejected. Struggling with rejection? Yes. Now, when we struggle with rejection, we interpret that and think he's rejecting us too. How could he possibly do that when he went through rejection? You want healing from rejection this morning? Why don't you let this scripture sink in? He knows what it's like to be rejected because he came as a baby. You'll never deal with the level of rejection that he dealt with. No matter what's going on in your life or how much you feel rejected, it cannot even compare. He was despised. He was rejected. Oh my goodness, he dealt with sorrow. What are you sorrowful about this morning? What did you lose this year? Where is the place of loss in your life? He was acquainted with sorrow. It says he was acquainted with grief. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to give you the real picture here. We come to church every Sunday and don't get the real picture of why we should be worshiping. Sit like a knot on a log during worship because you think he's God. But when you realize that he came as a baby in a manger and he can relate to everything you're going through, he understands grief. Are you hearing me? See, sometimes we go to pray about our issues and pray about things with God, and we really think we have to try to convince him. Oh, God, you just don't understand. You ever prayed that way? As if we have to convince him. We don't have to convince him. He's already faced it. How would our prayers change if we began to pray from the perspective of going to someone who's already been through it? I don't want counsel from somebody who ain't been through it. Some people know the answer to everything, but they've conquered nothing. I don't want advice. But see, you serve a King of Kings who's been tempted just like you, and whatever you face, you can go in knowing that you're going to see somebody that's got your issue, that understands what you've been through. That will change and revolutionize your prayer life. If you understand you're going to someone who can relate. Oh, I feel you, Jesus. Some of you got daddy issues in this room. Better hear me. You got parenting issues, been deserted or whatever by parents. On the cross, Father, why have you abandoned me? Oh, I feel Holy Ghost coming right in this room right now. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. But we're too busy thinking about his deity. No, folks, it felt every bit the same when he was on that cross and he went through that moment right there where he was abandoned. There's healing for somebody in this room right there. He was acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. You hear that? Now let's put it together. He was a baby. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastised. He was beaten. How about you go to your prayer room recognizing that? Instead of recognizing him as this big deity with light shining around him that you can't come to. The point is, you can come to him because he was you. He became what you are, is the message of the manger. That's only half the good news. Are you hearing me? Good Christmas message. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Catch it now. He was oppressed. You ever been oppressed? He was afflicted. But get this. He was slaughtered. Can he relate to you? What's the sign? God is going to come to earth. And he's going to come and become what you are. Oh, you better get that. Because that's what happened here. There's some kind of religious thing that keeps us separated from God. As if he's God and we're human. He's God and we're human. No, he became human. See, I'm convinced we've got many people sitting in a church pew and been saved for years who really don't understand the gospel. I'm giving you the gospel today. Amen. God became you. He has no trouble relating to you because he became you. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was slaughtered. Isaiah 53:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And by knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bared the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. The sign was in the manger. The manger was the sign. He was a baby. And as soon as he became the baby, he became numbered with the transgressors. You better grab it. Jesus, in many ways, whether he walked the earth that way or not, he died as a sinner. Hello? He was guilty of none of it, yet he died like he was guilty of all of it. What's your shortcoming this morning? He already paid for it. Whatever you're struggling with this morning, it was nailed on that tree. He became you. So whatever you deserve this morning, can you see how the religious spirit gets in? Makes you want to pay the price, makes you want to wrestle around with your struggle. It was already on the cross with him. And when I begin to pray from that perspective, it says he was numbered with the transgressors. He became what we are. That's only half the good news. I come to give you a good Holy Ghost message that'll get you free today. He became what you are so he can relate to you. But 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Half the story is he became what you are, but he became what you are so that you are now what he is. There's the sign. I'm going to become what they are and make them what I am. You don't have to wallow around in guilt and condemnation. You don't have to try to measure up. You don't have to try to meet up to some standard that churches have tried to make you move up to. Because he became what you are and made you what he is. He who knew no sin became sin so that you could become righteous. He traded with you.
Yes.
He became what you are, and you have become what he is, righteous. Yes. And it's not based on your performance. Yes. He performed for you. He became what we are so that we could become what he is. You better hear it. I love righteousness. It's one of my favorite messages. Listen to this. He became us, and we became like him in the eyes of God. How does God see you? is Jesus. While you wallow around in your performance, I've come to give you a revelation today. God sees you just like He does Jesus. Jesus was the first son. He's your elder brother. You need to understand that He's more than a Savior. You need to move Him from Savior to elder brother, because what that actually means is, in the eyes of God, you have the same standing that Jesus does with Him.
Yes.
Now, how's that going to change your prayer life? What if you began to pray in 2018 like God saw you, just like He does Jesus, because it's the truth? Oh God, I'm just such a weak little beggar. I can see God sometimes rising up and saying, shut up! You're making a mockery of what my son did! You are everything to me that he was! You have status with him! He is your elder brother! He became what you are and made you what he is. Righteousness. I'm going to say it again. He became us, and we became like Him in the eyes of God. That's transformational. Been in church for years and don't even understand the gospel. Wallowing around in self-pity and striving. God don't see you. He sees Jesus. Oh, you can be free in 2018. You can quit doing these things that you do and quit struggling if you understand. Is Jesus sick? Is Jesus broke? I said He sees you just like He sees Jesus. Jesus don't have any issues. Because of His blood, because He became a baby, God now sees you as a son, not a sinner.
I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday.
That's a mockery in the eyes of what the baby in the manger came here for. No, I am a child of a king. I am one with every right and every privilege of the king. Because when my daddy sees me, he sees Jesus. Oh, if you could just get that this morning. Because of His blood, because He came as a baby, God sees you as a son, not a sinner. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. No, what we thought is we're just going to get out of hell free. No, it's that you're a son just like Jesus. God doesn't look at you any differently. You're a son of God. He's just the firstborn. You're all sons of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Uh-oh. How many times you read that? When you got baptized into Him, you clothed yourself with Him, which means God sees Him, not you. That'll make you shout. You got some of you can't believe it. You like it. It's too fun for you to stay in self-pity. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. I could preach. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Racism is the biggest lie coming down the pike, because we're clothed in Christ. And there ain't no red people and black people and white people. There's Christ people. All sons of God. God don't see your color. Hello? Oh, religious spirits. I really don't think women should be able to preach. God don't see your gender. He sees Jesus Christ. You're clothed in Him. I love it. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. You know what that says? You got everything God promised Abraham. Go back and read it. Whatever God promised Abraham is yours, because God sees you just like He sees Christ. And the reason Christ came was to make you a participant of everything God promised Abraham. You will lend and not borrow. You'll be above and not beneath. Wherever the soles of your feet tread, you'll possess it. You'll lend and not borrow. You'll be above and not beneath. Why? Because when God sees you, He sees Christ. Now here you go. Prove it to me. Romans 8:29. Let me back up here a minute. For those, Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is your brother. You need to move from him being your Savior to getting the revelation that he's your brother and you're in the same house as he is, and the Father is not going to be partial to either one of you. That'll set you free this morning. You're a brother to Jesus. Oh boy. But some of us can't grasp that because we've got jealousy issues with our own brothers and sisters in the natural. So when I say to you, you're a brother, you're thinking about how there's a favorite in the house. Or Dad likes her better than he likes me. Do you know brothers in a house are equivalent? Are you getting this revelation? The sign was he was in a manger. He was a baby. And then let's go back. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. What's the message of the manger? Glory, what's the message of the manger? Since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like us without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may have mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't have to wallow around. I can walk right up to the door and go in before the mercy seat and say, hey, you got my stuff. I'm coming to get my stuff. I can go boldly. Because he doesn't, when I knock on the door, he doesn't see it any different than Jesus knocking on the door. It's no different than Jesus looking over and saying, hey, Daddy, I need X, Y, and Z. Are you hearing me? Because he became a baby, and he became what you are and made you what he is, you can now come boldly to God just like Jesus through Jesus. No difference in God's eyes. Hello? So, if you want to go get them, somebody can come. Would you come play piano a little bit for me, Roger? Now, I held off on communion for a reason. We Pentecostals have blown communion completely. It's this little thing we do. If you really understood communion and what it's saying, you'd do it every day. What's communion, Pastor? Here's what communion is. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Some nice little weak little thing that we do. Who are we proclaiming it to? We all know you're saved. You don't need to drink some wine and eat some bread for us to know it. He said when you do this, you're making a proclamation. And who you're making the proclamation to is the kingdom of darkness, to Satan himself. Devil, when you take communion, you are saying, I've got everything that the cross paid for me. You're proclaiming to the principalities and powers and demons that what the cross paid for. You're declaring that he became what I am and I've become what he is. That's what you're declaring when you take communion. You're making a prophetic decree. Listen to me, devil! Now I want you to get on your mind right now what you need him to do for you. And I don't want you to go through some ritualistic communion thing. I want you to recognize that when you do this, you're decreeing, I have it all. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. you're declaring to the devil, devil, get your filthy hands off of me and my life. Because I have become like him. He has become what I am, and I'm now. That's when you hold that cup. You're saying, hey, I'm like him. I got what he gave. Man, I feel condemnation leaving you in this room. I feel condemnation leaving here, wallowing around in that religious mess. So I want you to get on your heart what you need God to do for you. And I don't want you to beg. I want you to take this communion as a declaration. I've already got it. Whatever the cross paid for, whatever the blood paid for, I possess it. Get it in your mind right now.